At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hit into right field. Bobby Witt Jr. singles in his first at bat of the night. He's got a 21-game hitting streak.
21. No stress last night, right out of the chute.
In the gray pants, in the gray top, with Kansas City across the chest in block letters.
Mm-hmm. With the royal blue stripe down the leg. Yeah, that was fun last night because you got to get that out of the way right out of the chute.
Right
and
out
then
the chute.
Vinny Pasquantino does exactly what he's supposed to do right after that.
First one to Vinny Pasquantino. Fastball clobbered. High in the air. Deep right center field. Caballeros to the track. He's out of Rome. It's a two-run blast. Vinny Pasquantino punts the first pitch and destroys it. A two-run homer to put the Royals on the board in the top of the first inning. It's 2-0.
Game over. Yet a guy and Noah Cameron dealing last night, shoving from the slab. Bobby Witt Jr. extends the game, 21-game hit streak. Vinny Pasquantino, two-run home run. Immediately afterwards, first pitch he sees, deep to right field. You heard Jake Eisenberg on the call that you heard here on 96.5 The Fan. And then it's 2-0, and the game's over.
The game is pretty much over right now when you've got the opportunity to pitch like the Royals are pitching. And that was really cool. A 2-0, you felt pretty good about this team and everything that they've been doing. But the Bobby Witt thing, is still so amazing to me. I'm running out of things to say superlative-wise because he just continues to do great things, you know, every single night. And it's really getting to that level of Patrick Mahomes on a baseball side of things. There's nothing that this guy can't do, whether it's on deep offense, whether it's with the bat, hell, whether it's on the base path. I mean, it just doesn't matter. Like, this guy has an opportunity to affect the game in so many different ways, and every single night he's out there affecting the game. He's making great defensive plays last night. He's having some big hits in that ball game last night. The dude steals bases with the best of them, maybe the fastest guy in all of Major League Baseball. Like, I just don't know what to say about Bobby Witt Jr. anymore. It's gotten to that Mahomesian level where you're just like, I don't know, man. This guy's just wild and awesome to watch. And sometimes you just have to sit back and enjoy, you know, kind of what you're viewing. And it's not just three or four times in a game that you get to enjoy Bobby Witt. You get to enjoy him on defense, too, because this guy makes plays to his left. He makes plays to his right. I mean, he is right now just so much fun to watch. And if you're not paying attention to everything that Bobby Witt's doing, you're missing out on a great show right now. And I know it's tough to catch every inning of a baseball game over the course of a season, but this guy is putting on a show, man. He is worth the price of it. Admission and probably the first baseball player that we've seen at the K worth the price of admission since George Brett. You know, you had Zach Greinke for a little bit there in the Cy Young season. This guy by himself is worth the price of admission every single night at the Royals game.
I had a tweet last night that I'm continuing. I don't think I needed to defend it because I stand by it and I stand on it. I think Aaron Judge is cool and I think he's great. I think Ohtani is awesome and generational, but I truly believe that Bobby Witt Jr. is the best baseball player on this planet. I've heard Vern say it. I've heard Mark DeRosa say it. I've heard people
Mark DeRosa said all time.
Well, let's pump the brakes on that.
Right.
But like what he does as a whole baseball player is better than what Judge does. I get it. Judge is having a historic year. I'm not taking anything away from Aaron Judge, but doesn't play the defense, doesn't run, doesn't have the speed, doesn't have the five tool set that Bobby Witt Jr. does have. Shohei Ohtani, yes, he's the best baseball player we've ever seen. But like, if I'm starting a franchise, and I am not being biased, if I am starting a franchise in football, I'm taking Patrick Mahomes. No questions asked. I have that same energy. If I'm starting a franchise today in baseball and I could pick anybody of any roster, I would take Bobby Witt Jr.
See, I would still take Ohtani because he can pitch as well. And that adds to something. And he replaces two guys on your roster and he pitches and hits and plays defense and all that. So, like, I think Ohtani's kind of in that category that we've had Mahomes in for a while, other than Patrick Mahomes. You know, you take him out of the equation because you would pick him for anything. But pure just on the field doing great things, Bobby Witt Jr. is right up there and does have an opportunity to be the best player in the game. He hits 330, 340 again this year, steals you 50 bases, hits 20 home runs. I mean, my God, he's got an opportunity to be and to pass Shohei Ohtani as the best on the planet. The only thing that Ohtani does is he does something different than everybody else. He pitches at a high level and he hits at a high level. And once he gets back and he's, you know, back from that Tommy John surgery, we'll see where he goes. Now, if he takes a step back and he doesn't have the pitching side of things to go to his repertoire, then I think you can probably move Bobby Witt Jr. ahead of him. But we have to see how Shohei Ohtani, in my opinion anyway, comes back from that injury, because I think if he comes back and dominates and he's a Cy Young winner on the mound and an MVP with the bat, boy, that's hard to beat.
Hard to argue,
right? It's hard to argue that one.
If you brought age into the discussion, would it change your...
No, I don't know. I mean, probably not. Yeah. I don't think, because I don't know how old Ohtani is.
30.
Is he? And Bobby, what, 25?
24.
25. So he's, what, 5 years younger than where Shohei Ohtani is. But like, if Shohei Ohtani was kind of just a guy who pitched every once in a while and was just kind of more of a unique thing other than a really good thing, we'd have a conversation. I've just never seen somebody dominate on the mound and at the plate. And quite frankly, nobody's seen that since the Babe Ruthian days, right? So you got to go back all that time. But I mean, what he's doing right now has the potential to do from a pitching and hitting standpoint. I still think the jury's out at where he is until he's 100% healthy.
And the last time Shohei Ohtani pitched was 2023. So got to come back from that too. Still hasn't thrown a ball as a pitcher in a year and a half. They plan on having him back, I think they said, pitching in the second half of the season, because their pitching has dissipated quickly.
Oh my God, yes.
A lot of injuries in their, you know, major all-star pitching staff, Glasnow, Snell, all those guys.
I mean, when you go nine deep.
it's nice. But yeah, no, Ohtani, you know, great pitcher, you know, overall in his 5 years in the major leagues, 38-19.
And that was all with Anaheim for the most part, right? What, 1 year with the Dodgers where he pitched?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Yeah, he pitched. Did he pitch for the Dodgers?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think he's pitched for the Dodgers. It doesn't show that he's pitched in the regular season for the Dodgers on Baseball Reference.
Okay.
2023, Los Angeles Angels at 28. 2022, Angels.
Yeah, last year was his first year with the Dodgers. Yeah, that's right.
Hasn't pitched there yet. So, again, I know it's there. You know, the most innings he's ever thrown, 166. That's standard. But 130, 132. Had the Tommy John surgery. And then last year had the 50-50 year, which was insane. Mm-hmm. The MVP season as well. But, again, we'll see if he continues to be a pitcher. Again, Ohtani is the best player on the planet. I understand that. But, like, I still think Bobby Witt Jr. embodies the clone the mold of what you want a baseball player to be.
No doubt, yeah.
He is the definition of a five-tool player. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Ohtani pitches and hits for power and RBIs and steals bases still. But, you know, again, that's what's fun about baseball is, like, there is that renaissance happening. I mean, hell, you're going to have a chance to go see Bobby Witt and De La Cruz on the same field at Kauffman. Yeah. You just watch these young kids play. So good for Bobby Witt Jr., the Royals as well, above 500 going into May. Like we said, survive April. You can't lose. You can't win, you know, the division April, but you can lose it.
You can definitely lose it in April. There's no question. We've witnessed that.
And you've got your support of your fan base minus one texter. But that's one.
How could you not be excited about the Royals today? You know, like, seriously, like, you should be feeling great about this team.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking care of business. You have a little bit of a soft patch in your schedule with teams that you're playing. I think you play, what, Orioles next? Is that right?
You got the Orioles, and then you got the White Sox.
And then
bottom feeders.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
You know, you're on the road. Win on the road. What do they say? Two out of three at home, 500 on the road. You're doing that right now. You got to be excited about this team because, yeah, their pitching is bailing out their batting, but you have to think their batting is going to make a turn at some point. We're hoping that it happens. And, yeah, they did their job last night. They won another series. That's all you can ask for. And if you go out there and sweep the Rays today, you're 17-15, two games above 500, and you're narrowing the gap in the Central. I believe they are three games out of first place behind Detroit, a game and a half behind Cleveland, And then there's really no other competition below you.
No, there really isn't. The biggest story of baseball last night, you guys see this Pittsburgh thing last night?
The hammer fan?
There's a report from a fan who was sitting by that guy and the way that he was behaving last night in the crowd and how drunk he allegedly was in the stand. If you haven't seen it, the guy fell 21 feet from the stands onto the field. Now, what did that sound like? Does anybody have the audio of that? Because I want to hear if you could hear that guy hit the ground. I was at Arrowhead back in 01 against the Steelers. I watched a man fall from the upper deck, hit the middle deck, and then land on people in the lower tier. And I'll never forget the guy being wheeled out and him giving a thumbs up and I'm okay. And the police saying, boy, if he wasn't drunk, he'd be dead. And I said, if he wasn't drunk, he wouldn't have fallen out of that stadium. And so this is where we are with this guy, 21 feet to the field. 21. I mean, it was one of the more insane videos that I've ever seen. And I wasn't sure that I wanted to watch it. But once I saw it, I'm like, I got to go watch this thing over and over again to see if this is real. And boy, it was. And this guy's in critical condition right now. But I mean, the word, I guess, to the wise is don't be so drunk at a game where you're falling out of the stands. My God.
Yeah, I think we read the same report as you had just mentioned, torpedoed himself towards the ball, leaping over and then falling from the Clemente wall.
He was five rows behind the edge of the wall and fell from that far back.
Looked like George, what was his name? Luganis, the diver?
Oh, Greg Luganis.
Greg Luganis. Yeah. Yeah, it looked like they fell and just was like numb falling down. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? How are you this far gone at a base? I asked that, but I know the answer to that. He's hanging out on the, you know, parking lot too long and then goes in the game. I'm pretty sure he was shirtless.
I think he was. You said he had a long beard down to the middle of his chest or something like that, too.
He had that goatee.
He did.
That sometimes they braid.
Yeah, I hope he ends up being braided. Okay.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens and whatnot. But, I mean, how about the baseball players, too? Like, that's really, like, if you're out there on the field and that happens.
I'm hysterically laughing.
I mean, like
maybe at first.
And the cops didn't care. They turned him over on his stomach and arrested him immediately.
Yeah, they did. They arrested that guy right away. But the interesting thing, like they just moved him out of the field and continued the game.
I mean, what do you want him to do?
Nothing. Let's keep it up. Yeah.
No, nothing. I mean, that's what you do. It's like, all right, get the hell out of here and continue the game. But I mean, watch that fall of this 21 feet. This guy launches himself from the fifth row and then goes off onto the field. And so, yeah, he obviously arrested. We'll see if he survives this thing, but. I mean, my God, it's a Wednesday night, bro.
Yeah, it's a school night.
In Pittsburgh. Who they play, the Cubs, so it's a pretty big series and whatnot. It's the Cubs. You know, I'm sure they have good
schemes
crowd
on the mound, though.
I mean, no reason to jump out of the stadium like that and go for a foul ball or fly ball or whatever it was. I did think the camera positioning was really weird on that, though. Like, why was the guy behind home plate videotaping what was going on out there?
Yeah.
And then when the runner runs, he doesn't follow the runner. Like, it's just a weird, like, I'm Zapruder filming this up, and I do have some conspiracies with this, because just watch that video. Open that video up. What is that guy videotaping at that point in time? What is that guy shooting at that point in time? Because he's not really focused on the runners trying to score.
That's a good point.
Or the guy going from first to second. He's clearly focused on that right field area the entire time that video is out. So I don't know if there's some conspiracy out there that they plan this or whatnot. But
no.
I mean, it was just weird video placement for me.
If I can go to back to my digital media production days at the University of Central Missouri, you have a technical director in your ear that's talking to other camera shots and saying, like, you know, maybe he's watching the crowd, or you have camera guys that are also like, hey, there's this really hammered fan out in right field. And then you have your director being like,
I thought this was somebody's personal camera that did that.
Oh, no.
I thought it was somebody's phone that video came from.
No, there's definitely somebody like, as a camera guy, being like, hey, there's like this commotion going on over the right field wall. Like, you might want to check this out. There's like this hammered shirtless fan. And then it's like, all right, keep your camera on there. We'll just keep this in the shot. But yeah, who knows what's going on in the buses these days. But
I swear that was a fan that had his phone.
That's
up.
A phone.
That's okay. A phone. Yeah, okay. That's not a professional. That's somebody's phone. That's why I've got the conspiracy thinking to myself right now. Like, what's that guy aiming at?
Never know.
What's that guy filming out there?
Yeah, you've got a guy running from first to second. He's clearly not following him. He's just kind of in the void of right field. That's
right.
All the video's on.
Right.
All these things are happening in the game, but he's just in that one spot.
He's in that one spot in right field. Now,
it's weird.
Maybe he saw something going on out there for a couple of innings and is like, oh my, something may happen. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird, weird, weird video placement. All that action going around, if you're the baseball fan, you're probably following the action, guys scoring. He does not move that camera off that right field wall.
it's kind of crazy to think that Bobby Witt Jr. could have taken a leap from last year's performance. Nick Keppel of the Royals Communication Department, only four players in Major League history have matched Bobby Witt Jr.'s combination of home runs, stolen bases through 500 career games. Obviously, last night you heard that Bobby Witt Jr.'s 21st hit of his streak came in his 500th game. That's right. Bobby Witt Jr.'s already played 500 Major League games. The only people that have had 84 home runs and 119 stolen bases through 500 career games, Bobby Bonds, Eric Davis, Alfonso Soriano, and Hanley Ramirez.
Oh, wow. That's a...
What's wrong with that list?
I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's not exactly a who's who.
You know? It's 500 games.
Yeah.
And Alfonso Soriano was a massive talent.
Yep.
Hanley Ramirez was supposed to be the next one. Then he got traded and kind of fizzled out. Bobby Bonds is who he is. And then we all know who Eric Davis is.
Right. Good players, not like great players. Like, so the moral of that story is those guys got figured out after 500 games and never made the adjustment to the league. I don't think that's going to be the case for Bobby Witt Jr. I think he's going to be just fine, and he'll leave all those guys in the dust. The 1,000 bases, too, in 500 games, two bases a game, that's maybe the most insane thing that Bobby Witt Jr. has done. 1,000 bases in 500 games. That to me, is absolute insanity.
It's crazy. So we move that conversation to the NFL. Is there a Chiefs player you are ready to see take the next leap?
Yeah, because Bobby's done it. Obviously, we saw Noah Cameron do it kind of last night and whatnot. So the next leap, I think the easy answer for a lot of people is any of the wide receivers, right? You'd like to see, well, Xavier Worthy play an entire season now that he's got one under his belt, see what he can do. I think the expectations are going to be kind of out of whack for him. People are going to want 1,000 yards and 15 touchdowns. I think that's a little much, but you know, take that next step to know that you're that reliable receiver. Xavier Worthy, obviously, I mentioned there, Rashi Rice, he's got the injury that he's coming back from and the suspension. We'll see maybe if he can potentially take, you know, that next step. But I think when you look around at this team, ultimately the guy to take that next step, and I mean, he may not even be on that. I'd love to see Sky Moore take that next step to give us that one more wide receiver that we can truly count on. Well, who the hell do you have on your list?
George Karlaftis.
What the hell was that? I don't know what the next step for him would be. I mean, he's been pretty damn good.
I want 10 sacks.
He had that his rookie year last year, 2 years ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, 10 sacks is very hard to do in the NFL.
Close this year, right? 8.5. But yeah. You want it consistent.
I want it consistent. You want to be an edge rusher. You want to be somebody that's like a dominant force that was picked high in the draft. Go be a dominant edge rusher. I want to see him take that. And it's not a shot at Karlaftis.
Nobody said it was, but I think that it's hard for, like, double-digit sacks are like when I use the numbers of 300. You got 20 guys hitting over 300. Double-digit sack guys in the NFL, it's not a lot. We think that is, and that's just the way we are as people. We think, 10 sacks. But then you start to look at the list, you're like, damn. There's not a lot of people that have double-digit sacks in the NFL.
Yeah, I bet there's not as many guys as there are teams who had double-digit sacks. You know, I bet there's not 32 guys who had double-digit sacks in the league.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think I looked at the number 2 years ago, you know, when Karlaftis had 10. I think there was like 15 guys or something.
Yeah, I bet it's around 20. Yeah. He had 10.5 and then he had 8 last season.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good start.
I get you. I'd love to him to take that next step. He'd be a, you know, perennial every year. You know, he's going to be in that double-digit. He's a top 10-ish edge rusher. If he could get to that mark, that'd be great for this team.
He's quiet too, because he doesn't need the spotlight, because Mahomes and Kelsey and Jones and all the other guys like grab the spotlight. George Karlaftis is kind of, I don't want to say in that same category as Mike Dana, but just goes out there and makes plays, and it's not sexy. It's not flashy. Nope. It's just doing your job, you know?
17 players had 10 or more sacks last year.
Yeah.
You were right. Half of the amount of players. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Not even 20 players with double digit sacks. So that's why I always go back. I go, all right, like, let's take a you know, a bigger look at all of this and see, are double digit sacks, is that realism, or is that like, holy shoot, you know, that's going to be an amazing year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was 27th in the league last year in sacks.
With eight.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, a leap. I'd like to see him get to that level of like, here's, you know, I'm not saying he has to be Trey Hendrickson. I'm not saying he has to be Max Crosby, but I'd like to see him fall somewhere in like the top 12.
Is Trey Hendrickson still in Cincinnati?
So far, Trey Hendrickson is still there. 17.5 sacks last year for him. Myles Garrett, 14. Those were your top two in sacks. But again, like,
jeez.
I would love to see, you know, George Karlaftis take that leap where it's like, instead of being like, oh, this defensive line is anchored by Chris Jones and company, I want to see it like, oh, this defensive line is anchored by Chris Jones and George Karloftis.
How hard is that to change the perception of people, too?
Well, it's tough. I mean, you know, that's the toughest thing that we do in this industry. Like, how are you talking about a team that's only one game above 500 in baseball? I don't know how to change your perception if you're just always negative. Mm-hmm. I can't get you out of that hole. You know, it is what it is. But again, like, that's the leap. You know, I mean, I think Xavier Worthy's in a one. I mean, 96 yards or something, 686 yards, something like that last year. A leap for him is
850.
You know, yeah, 800 to 900 yards receiving, maybe. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, that's a leap. Yeah. It's not a massive leap.
No, that's great.
Eight sacks to 10.5 to 11 sacks and own your position. Similar conversation.
Yeah, because that was his rookie year, too, that he had that 10.5. Right. Now you've got film on him. You go down a little bit. And we also know that first half of the season, it was crickets from George Karloftis.
He needed O'Minihue.
Needed O'Minihue. He needs Jones. So let's see him kind of win those one-on-ones and make something for himself on that line. I like that.
I mean, every player is better with talent around them.
Of course.
You know, it just is. I mean, Patrick Mahomes will be better if we get this left tackle situation figured out, right? It's just the way it is. Or, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. becomes better if guys behind him start hitting and whatnot. So, you know, you're as good as you can be, and then if you have really good teammates, you could elevate your game, you know, to that next level. And so if he had to wait for Charles O'Minihue to come back, that's fine, because there really wasn't anybody else on the other side of that line. And so it makes sense if you're the opposition. Well, let's take care of Karloftis and Jones. We don't really have to worry about whoever else was playing over there.
Yep. I mean, it's same for McDuffie. He's going to have better corners and better safeties around, and we're going to see him return first team all pro form. Jaden Hicks would be mine.
Okay.
Jaden Hicks, huge leap for him. Starting safety, no Justin Reed. We saw flashes of him in the athleticism. He can come in the box. He can blitz. He's going to be a weapon for Spags. I'm excited for him.
Texan likes Noah Gray to take a leap.
Yeah, and see, I think a lot of people like the tight end to take that next leap because I still see things that the Chiefs don't have a tight end planned after Travis Kelce. I'm like, no, they do have it. You just don't like it, but they do have one. You just don't know about it. You just don't understand it. You're not seeing it, like one of those things. Like, and that's the way we are with everything. We're always more freaked out about the unknown than about the known. And again, if these tight ends don't live up to Travis Kelce, oh well, nobody's living up to Travis Kelce. So I think we're starting to see more of a shift as this offense continues to move forward. They drafted another wide receiver. They've got two young wide receivers on their roster right now that are your one and twos, right? You're starting to see, okay, we're not going to have a replacement for Travis Kelce. It's stupid to try to find a replacement for him. Let's start finding other good offensive weapons and kind of just evolve the offense as we go.
So Jaden Hicks, Xavier Worthy, or Rashee Rice, and George Karloftis. I'm not mad about that list.
It's a good list.
It's hard to say some guy because everybody plays so well.
I want to see Mahomes step up. You exactly. Get back
Patrick needs to play better.
Get back to 50 and 5,000, dude. Come on now.
Seriously, Patrick, you've let us down the last 6 years.
And Travis Kelce should step up as well.
Whoever plays left tackle, take a leap for me, please.
Whoever that is, yeah. And we'll know that leap right away.
Yep.
Jalen Moore, man.
Let's go. We will know that leap. Kelsey's washed, though, Dusty. I don't know if he can take that step.
Oh, man. 913-586-7965. Question for you. If you could golf with any celebrity, who would it be? Because it is May, and that is the Justin Timberlake.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be May. It's going to be May. Travis Kelce seen golfing with Justin Timberlake. Who are you going golfing with?